washing, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus, our affection.
If you can click it first. The wrong one. We got the wrong. All right. No, this is the this is last week's sermon. Unless you want to hear it again, can you take it to? It's 1 Peter 4. That's all right. Yeah, kid can do it with his phone. Is it? Where? It's yeah, in July, anyway.
Listen to Kate.
He's a school teacher. Listen to him. Yep.
No worries. So today's reading is 1 Peter 4, verses 10 to 11. 7 to 11. All right, there we go. Eyes up there. All right. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of healing others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
It's always fun, isn't it, when things are different to what you plan? But that's all right. So what we're looking at is continuing from Everyone Gets to Play. And I'm looking at 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11. Just to give you a background. So 1 Peter 1 say, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect, exile of the dispersion, and then there's lots of names I won't say, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience of Jesus Christ, for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. So last week we looked at Romans, where Paul wrote to Roman, even though he hasn't been there. Now we're looking at Peter writing to a dispersed church. So anywhere, everywhere. And Peter was writing a very pastoral letter. It was a time where the Romans started persecuting the Christian. So they were dispersed. That's why they were exiled. Some translations say they are alien. All right. So 1 Peter covers about how to be called to be holy, born again in the living hope, a living stone and a holy people. So this is a time where they are dispersed. All right. So these are the things that Peter felt it was important, submission to authority. So it's quite interesting, isn't it? Romans are persecuting them. And Peter say, hey, don't hate them, still submit to them. And then the very, very important thing, wife and husband relationship. So even when you are in exile, still behave properly in your marriage. Suffering for righteousness' sake. And then stewards of God's grace, which we're going to touch on today. And suffering as Christian. And then shepherd of the flock. And then in 2 Peter, he continued. This is just a few months before he died. All right? So this is like his final word to the people that he was given the task to shepherd. Remember, he denied Jesus 3 times, and then Jesus kind of restored him in a very subtle way. Do you love me? Do you agape me? Do you filio me? And then Jesus replied, if you do, look after my sheep, tender the ewes, you know, look after them. So this is what Peter is writing out of his heart. And to Peter again, just a few months before he died, confirm your calling in the election. Christ's glory and the prophetic word, false prophet teachers. So warning them that there is going to be false prophet and teachers. Again, the devil is not the one that come to kill, steal, and destroy. It's the false prophet and false teacher. All right? This is where the subtlety of the word, the people who distort the word, the torture the word of God, they are the one that's going to destroy your faith. So in the end days, Peter is saying, you need to get to know the word of God. And then you guys probably know. If you don't, I'll just remind you. This year we are trying to focus on 2 Peter 3:18, which say, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So, just a bit of... I think you need to click for me. The clicker is not clicking. I know why. All right. So, let's pray. This is in reflection of Romans 12 that we covered the last 2 weeks. Father, you are marvelously merciful. We dedicate our whole body, our hearts, our soul, our minds, and our strengths to you as living sacrifices. In Christ, we are holy and acceptable to you. May all that we are and do be real, reasonable service of worship to you. We choose you above all. We live and die for your glory. Amen. So, just a quick recap. Yeah, I think you need to click for me. Did I do that? Or did you? Okay. So, just to cover, so Melanie kicked off with Romans 12, which she did a great job, and then I kind of jump on it and add on a bit, few things. So we were put in the body of Christ. So Romans 12 is very clear. In the view of God's mercy, what you need to do, which is reasonable, is to give your whole body as a living sacrifice. Not dead, but living sacrifice. Then, if you want to really worship God, you need to turn away from the world. The world and the worship of God doesn't work. Therefore, you cannot be squeezed into the mold of the world, but you need to allow God to renew your mind and transform you inside out. When you get transformed inside out, then you will really truly know and approve and test God's will, which is always good, acceptable, and perfect. So there's no way you can test God's will unless you get transformed inside out and your mind renewed, because your perspective will be distorted if it is not renewed. And then verse 3 say, realistically consider who you are with sober or sound judgment. And then in that it says, you are allotted a measure of faith. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God can make it easy and give you a portion of faith. And then he say, you actually don't belong to yourself. You belong to a body, and therefore you belong to each other. And in that body, you have a part to play. And God have given you a grace gift that differ from each other. So you don't have to compete and compare. So I put it in a simple way. We are all part of a team. Together, each of us will achieve more. Next slide, please. So now we're going to look at Peter writing in a time where he feels the end is coming soon. All right? So this is another reflection on the grace of God. But Peter, not like Paul, is a bit simpler. Paul is very scholastic. So Peter, in a way, quite simple. All right? So as everyone or each of you has received, that's past tense in my book, has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the grace of God is a bit varied and multicolored. Whoever speaks, it is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, through whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Can I have the next slide? So, in summary, looking at last week and this one, basically is to understand each of us are allotted a measure of faith so that we can please God, so that we can walk in faith. We also given different grace. The manifold grace is basically multicolored. All right? God is so creative. He doesn't want same old, same old. So if I have a gift of prophecy and Melanie have a gift of prophecy, we will prophesy in a different grace, which means come out different color. All right? Melanie is more dramatic. You know, it's sort of, poo, I'm like, bang, 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 bang. All right? But it's all grace of God. And God is like, that's so good. Melanie, do it again. And then to go, all right. So that's the grace of God. And then we are put together. This is the part that I want to say correctly. I see a lot in Western Christianity that we do a lot of individualistic thing. You know, that's our culture, you know. Hey, she be right, mate. You know, I'll do my stuff, you know, you do your stuff, I'll do my stuff. But the interdependent is like, no, I need you. And that's very humbling to say, hey guys, young, I need you. You play the drum, I can't. You know what I mean? It's humbling to be interdependent because we are brought up to be independent. You know what I mean? So everyone has at least one grace gift. I put grace gift rather than spiritual gift. All gifts are spiritual, but I'm going to touch on it next week about the three different type of gifts that is predominant in 1 Corinthians 12. And then you got Romans 12 and then Ephesians 4. All right? But this too helps us to understand this grace gift. Gift may differ, but all gifts are essential. So my gift standing up here is not any better, as I said before, someone who makes a good mocha. You know what I mean? They're like, okay, no fuss, they just make a good mocha. And when I drink that mocha, I can speak better. So it's all connected, you know what I mean? So gift may differ, but all gifts are essential. And then gifts are given to us to give to someone else. That's what gifts for. It's no use me saying, I'm a prophet, I'm a prophet, I'm a prophet. You know? Or I'm a teacher, and I don't teach anybody. You know what I mean? It doesn't work. So even if I give of healing, it's to help somebody get healed. So gifts are to edify others, and gifts are to glorify God. That's the quick summary. Where I want to get to, next one please. So people who play sports, AFL, you have four quarters, all right? Last quarter is supposed to be 20 minutes, but you never really finish in 20 minutes because the stoppage, you know, people are like pretending they got injured and all that. They stretch it. If you are playing, you know, the gridiron, it's worse still, all right? 5 minutes can stretch to 40 minutes because they like keep throwing the ribbon down or whatever. You know what I mean? So when when Peter talked about the final day, all right, it's not that suddenly time is short. It's basically we are in the final quarter. All right, can we look at the second scripture? Second one. Aye. What was before that? Is that before that? All right, okay. I want to talk about, this just jumped up at me, so I want to talk about it. That we are actually now put in a hospitality team. We are here to give a taste of heaven to strangers. All right? Think about it. Let's go to the next one. Okay. The end of all things is near. So the end of all things is near. Therefore, be sound judgment and sober for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. Show hospitality to one another without complaint, but cheerfully, without grumbling, murmuring, all that stuff. So I just want to unpack this quickly. The end of all things, all right? When Peter wrote it, it was roughly how long? 2,000 years ago, right? Okay. Now, we are still in the end time. So, what does he mean by that? Are we in the last quarter of the game? So, Peter assumed it is, because when they say the time is near, it's basically normally when Jesus came and then Jesus returned. But most of us agree we are in the last days of the last days. So, last doesn't mean short. Last days mean it's the last quarter. When the final whistle goes, there's no more quarter. But that quarter, like say, that stoppage, you know, that's false injury, and then the referee might just enjoy playing with his whistle. You know? But that's the kind of thing that's interrupting. And Peter also say, one day is like, okay? So basically, the time frame is not important. The time we are living in is important. So what are you going to focus in your final hour? All right, this is what Peter suggested. Be sound judgment and sober. That's number one. I'm not too good in that. Sound judgment comes from self-discipline. Then self-discipline leads to self-control. Self-control leads to sound mind. And when you have a sound mind, you have sound judgment. Being sober means solemnly okay, not like a drunk or fool. You know, you solemnly judge. I'm saying I'm not very good at that because my son say that a couple of things he remember me, you know, in the last 20 odd years. He said, Dad, two things, you know, you're not going to get to Google. I said, I want to get a job in Google. He said, nah. I said, why? Dodgy jokes. And outbursts. So I like, wow. After 20 years, that's all he remembers of me. He wasn't judging me. He was just making an observation. Dad, dodgy jokes, you know. Don't do that, all right? And outbursts, you know. So people with outbursts, like say, you know, I'm in my last quarter. I realize I need to do better. And so that's something I need to learn about self-discipline, self-control, being sound mind. But you know what? Holy Spirit helps you because you're given a spirit of power, love, and sound mind, which is also self-discipline, self-control, sound mind, and sound judgment. And we also have the fruit of the Spirit. But we need to participate in that, all right? So in the end time, it's not, hey, let's sell our property. Let's wait in the mountain. Jesus, come back. Jesus, come back. Oh, you know, when I was in uni, one of the young guy that came and say, you shouldn't be in uni. You should all get into the Bible college and go to Timbuktu and preach the gospel. That's not being sober. That's not being sound judgment. So they were alien. They were being persecuted. And Peter say, come on, get serious, get sound here. So still pay your taxes, all right? Pay your taxes, be good. And be sober, as in serious. So when you have sound judgment and all that, like say, you know, for the purpose of prayer, because when you do that, you slow yourself down and you pray. You don't panic. You pray. Why do you pray? Because God already knows what's going on. You pray to listen to God, to incline your ears and say, Lord, COVID, what's going on, Lord? Ukraine, what's going on, Lord? So then you can hear God and say, hey, it's not time yet. Still pay your taxes. To go to school, to go and do your job. Above all else, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. Fervent, I was asking Maria what fervent is. Anyone? Greek? Okay. So fervent in Greek is like, you know, 100 meter race, you know, the last meter. They kind of, you know, or a horse running and just stretching for the last leg. So fervent is strenuously stretching. All right? I don't know how to love like that. You know, think about it. Why can't love be just easy? Why must you strenuously stretch? And that the reason is, because love covers multitude of sin. That's from Proverbs 10, 12. Hatred stir up strife, but love covers multitude of sin. What it means for me is you run so hard and stretch that when somebody offends you, you cover their sin. You don't expose it. So if someone wronged me, instead of me going to tell Elwin, because Elwin liked to listen to me, hey, you don't do that. You stretch out and you cover the sin of others. That's why the connection is. You know, I will wrong you. In fact, I've wronged you, most of you sometimes. And you will wrong me. So we can choose to be offended, or we can choose to strenuously stretch out, like, and then, you know, and then you can't stretch out anymore, and then God say, hey, I've given you more love. It's all supply. So you kind of, okay, thank you, Lord, stretch a bit more. So you stretch and then cower the circle, to cower the multitude of sin. The last one is what I want to emphasize. So they are in exile. They've been kicked out. They're persecuted. So why is it so spiritual to show hospitality to one another without complaint? So it means all of us are supposed to do hospitality. Yeah? But sometimes we do it cheerfully. Sometimes we wish they're not coming. I don't do that, do I? All right. Hospitality, the Greek word is... Second slide. Go back. All right. Hospitality means loving strangers. Hospital come from the word hospitality. So hospital was a place where stranger can come in and you love them till they recover. But they were in exile, so there was still preacher going around, and then they got no inn. They no Hyatt, no Hilton, no Sheraton. So we have to offer hospitality. But do you see strangers? You know, we have strangers coming in. How do we treat them? We have strangers on the street. So I'm encouraging you all that we are recruited to the hospitality team so that others can have a taste of heaven. So seeing and serving stranger with God's grace and love, that's hospitality. We are stewards of God's grace, the manifold grace. Steward is, we are managers, isn't it? It's not ours. So will we give that grace to others? Ellie and Millie is like, oh, that's a high standard. That's right. Hospitality is a high standard. We can only do it by God's grace. And we can only do it because God wants us to do it. You know? So in the end time, the final quarter, let's be the best hospitality host we can be. You know? Meet the needs of the guests and exceed the needs. Give them the wow factor. Give them a taste of heaven. You know, you pray and prepare and say, Lord, who can I meet today that I'm going to bring that stranger in and host them that they will not feel like a stranger anymore? They will get the taste of your love. You know, because they are stranger in this world, they haven't tasted God's love. Will you give them a taste of heaven? So God give us grace, give to serve others, and then God give us faith and strength to serve others. Next one. Next one, please. All right. So there shouldn't be any stranger in our midst. That's what God's saying. Sorry, that's what I'm saying. That's what I think God's saying. There shouldn't be any strangers in our midst. There shouldn't be any alien, foreigners. You know, everyone is made acceptable. You know, we accept them, we welcome them, we receive them. You know, and they feel God's love. God doesn't know how, sorry. God's love is not tangible to others except through us. You know, there was a story, which is a true story, in World War II. One village in France, a statue of Jesus was all demolished. But that statue was very important. After World War II, they tried to put them together. So they found most of the pieces except the hand. And they're like, you know, Jesus' hand is important. It was nailed. You know, Jesus' hand and all that. And then after a couple of days, somebody put a plaque there. You know what it says? Jesus has no hands but ours. That's what the serving is all about. God can do it, but he wants tangible human beings like us to flesh out his love. Next one. That's a play of word. You've seen that, isn't it? So a stranger is crying out in their loneliness, in their isolation, in their depression. God is nowhere. And you come with the taste of heaven, and they hopefully capture it. And your tangible love causes them to say, God is now here. I know God is here now. God is good. Next one. I like this. Oh. Sorry. It's a stranger calling. I need to answer. All right. Time's up. All right. I'll finish off here. If our body belongs to God and we say, hey, this is all yours, Lord. All that I am and hope to be is yours. You are the Lord of all. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So then our house, our church, is God's house. If it's got for God's house, then it's for God's guests. Who's God's guests? Most of the time are strangers. He reached out to strangers. If you read Matthew 25, Jesus say, I was like a stranger, but he clothed me. I was like a stranger, but he gave me a drink. You know, as you do to the least of these, you are doing unto me. So would you let your house be God's house, so that whoever come will be his guest and your guest, so that you pray and show love to the strangers for his recovery and refreshment. Next one. There you go. We all recruited. So let me pray. Father, I pray your word would not just be would not just be words that we hear and then forget about it. We just pray now your word become life and spiritness, that your word become seed that will grow into forests, that will give shelter to many, many strangers. Teach us how to love strangers, Lord. Teach us to be part of your heavenly hospitality team, that we will show and offer hospitality. And I know it's not about a house, it's about us being the house of God wherever we go, so that like you setting up the table in Psalm 23 before the enemies. So you are that kind of host. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to take communion now, and then we're going to finish with the couple of worship songs. So communion is about God hosting us, isn't it? Everyone can come. No restriction. You know, anyone can come. Come to my table and get a taste of heaven. You can come as you are, but the way God do things is you're not going to live as you are. You come with all your sin and then you live without sin. You come with all your sorrows, you live with peace. You come with your sickness and you live with healing and wholeness. You know, you come with your depression, you live with peace and joy. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can do this because he's in us, you know. So we need to use our gifts to serve our Almighty God. And look out. Really see the strangers, because we were strangers once. And do it in faith. Do it in his strength. All right? Let's enjoy Jesus, our host. He said, take this. So you take the bread, which is his body. It's pretty amazing, isn't it, that he offered his whole body. See, I need my wife, interdependent. Thank you, Lord. So it's interesting to think about, you know, in your final quarter, as Peter put it, in your final hours, what are you going to focus on? And he say, show hospitality. And Jesus is hospitable to us always. So let's partake of his body. Thank you, Lord. And there's always wine in this present. Wine always signified celebration, joy, you know, not sorrow. I mean, some people drink wine to drown their sorrow. But this is a good wine that lasts forever and you have peace and joy. You know, that's the thing, you know, when strangers come to your presence, do they sense a peace and joy? Because Jesus offered that peace. Let's drink. Let's worship God. And thanks, guys.